This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson broadcast award-winning program Between the Keys, featuring Jed Distler. More information about Steinway & Sons, makers of handcrafted pianos since 1853, is available at www.steinway.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and welcome to Between the Keys. You probably know what a glissando is. You go to a piano, or any keyboard instrument for that matter, and you simply move your hands across the keyboard, up or down, like this, or like this, or like this, or maybe even like this. Well, that's a glissando. What happened is that I was listening to some piano pieces that use glissando effects, but not in a brash way, like I was just playing on my upright piano here, but in a more subtle way. And that led me into exploring other so-called effects, such as plucking the strings on the piano soundboard like a harp, or how you can easily imitate bells or chimes or big resonating gongs on the piano. And before I knew it, a theme for this episode settled right into my lap, right into place. That's why I call this episode Pluck, Gliss, Strum, Bang, and Chime. Now, this first selection isn't percussive, yet, to my mind, it evokes soft marching drums and castanets. It's the third movement from the piano suite Guayescas by Enrique Granados. This piece is called El Fandango del Candil, which means Fandango by Candlelight. And there is a splendid new recording of Guayescas by a gifted young pianist named José Menor. Let's hear him perform El Fandango del Candil.
Thank you.
Music by Enrique Granados from the piano suite Guayescas, the third movement entitled El Fandango del Candil, Fandango by Candlelight. The pianist was José Menor. I was taken with not just the subtle melodic glissando effect that we will hear in this next piece, but also simply because this is a work that typifies the deliberately accessible style that the British composer Cornelius Cardew was pursuing in his last years. Cardew's profound social awareness and strong Leninist, Marxist political affiliation led him to abandon composing experimental music in favor of what he called a people's liberation music. He died as the result of a hit-and-run accident in 1981, although it has been suggested that his death actually was a political assassination. This is a piece called Father Murphy, and we're going to hear it performed by Jean Golan. Pianist Jean Golan playing a work called Father Murphy by Cornelius Cardew. There are similar melodic glissando effects in what we're going to hear next, which are excerpts from a large-scale work by the late Scottish composer and pianist Ronald Stevenson. It's probably his best-known work, the Passacaglia on DSCH, based on the initials of Dmitri Shostakovich's name. The work dates from 1962, and it lasts anywhere from 75 to 85 or even 90 minutes, depending on who's playing. We're going to hear the final three sections of the work's first part. Each of these follow one another. The first is Pibroch, Lament for Children, then Episode 2, Arabesque Variations, and finally a Nocturne. The pianist is Murray McLaughlin.
Thank you.
pianist Murray McLaughlin in excerpts from Ronald Stevenson's Passacaglia on DSCH, the letters DSCH being the initials of the name Dmitri Shostakovich. The notes are D natural, E flat, C natural, B natural. And Shostakovich often used these notes as a motto theme, most famously, perhaps, in his Eighth String Quartet. Henry Cowell was a composer who became known for his experiments plucking the strings on the soundboard inside the piano. The other technique that Henry Cowell made famous was using tone clusters, either using your hand or your fist or even your elbows to play groups of adjacent notes. One of Henry Cowell's more majestic and lyrical tone cluster pieces is something called The Trumpet of Angus Og. We will hear it performed by Sorrel Hayes. Music by Henry Cowell, The Trumpet of Angus Og, performed by Sorrel Hayes. One doesn't have to pluck on the piano strings to evoke the sound of a harp. One can do that right at the keyboard normally. I'm thinking about the harp-like quality that Frédéric Chopin obtains in those big arpeggiated chords throughout his Etude in E-flat major, Opus 10, number 11. You almost have to strum rather than strike the keys. I have two different performances of this etude that I thought we could compare. First, let's listen to the E-flat etude performed by John Browning. Chopin's Etude in E-flat, Opus 10, number 11, with pianist John Browning. Very lovely, crystal clear, and expressive performance, I think. I'd like to hear the same etude again, but in a slightly earlier recording. This one is from the mid-50s. It features pianist Claudio Arrau. Let's listen. Thank you. Again, Chopin's Etude in E-flat, Opus 10, number 11, this time with pianist Claudio Arrau. What did you think of the performances? Well, I'll tell you what I think. Arrau obviously is slower than John Browning, and I think his performance is texturally more plush, more massive. Yet what is interesting is that these textures convey considerable sustaining power, but with very little use of the sustain pedal. I think John Browning is more straightforward by contrast. The textures are a little more transparent. There's plenty of rubato, yet it feels very direct. I honestly like both performances. Let me remind you that you are listening to Between the Keys, and I'm your host, Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. Not all piano hammers are created equal, and I bring up this point to introduce the American composer Conlon Nancarrow, who created an extraordinary series of studies for player piano. He would compose the studies on manuscript paper, and then he would painstakingly and meticulously cut perforated piano rolls to execute these pieces. Most of these pieces are impossible to play by two human hands. The rhythmic complexities are often way beyond any human being's reach. And to create a harder-hitting, percussive, more immediate kind of sonority, Conlon Nancarrow had his custom-built Ampico player pianos fitted with special hammers. One had metal-covered felt hammers, and the other had leather strips on the hammers. Here's one of his early and more obviously jazz-influenced studies, the opening of what he called the Boogie Woogie Suite. Imagine three or four Boogie Woogie pianists on a combination of amphetamines and steroids playing together, battling it out. Thank you. Oh boy, I never get tired of hearing that. Music by Conlon Nancarrow, study number 3A for player piano. I was just listening to a recording that Peter Serkin made in 1983 devoted to Schubert dances, all recorded on a Graf model forte piano, and the variety of sonorities from this instrument definitely evokes the sound qualities that we have been exploring on this episode. Plucking, strumming, chiming, ringing, a little bit of banging, but it certainly sounds more three-dimensional than what you would expect from a modern concert grand. Let's listen to Peter Serkin.
Thank you.
We just heard four dances by Franz Schubert, performed on the forte piano by Peter Serkin. These were from a release on the Pro Art label, which unfortunately is out of print, like most of Peter Serkin's recordings for this label, including my personal favorite recording of Beethoven's Hammer Clavier Sonata, and that's something I'm going to air one of these days on Between the Keys. What happens when a pianist is asked to evoke from the keyboard a magical world of bells and chimes and other gently resonating percussion instruments? What happens is that you get La Vallée des Cloches, the Valley of the Bells, from the piano suite Miroir by Maurice Ravel. This is one of Ravel's most refined and evocative piano works, and one can use those same words to describe this performance by Abby Simon.
Thank you.
pianist Abby Simon performing music by Maurice Ravel, La Vallée des Cloches, Valley of the Bells, from the piano suite Miwa. For the final work on this episode, we feature one of my friends and mentors, the composer and pianist Frederick Jevsky. This is the fourth of his four piano pieces from 1977. It opens with a passage in repeated chords that slowly works its way from the top down to the bottom of the keyboard, almost like tuned percussion, and the piece ends with the opposite effect, with the chords resonating from bottom and finally all the way to the top. I have performed this piece many, many times, but I think we ought to hear it with the composer, Frederick Jevsky, himself at the piano. Music by Frederick Jevski, his piano piece number 4, composed in 1977, with Frederick Jevski himself at the piano. That's a recording that came out on the Vanguard label in 1980. Jevski's piano piece number 4 brings this episode, called Pluck, Gliss, Strum, Bang, and Chime, to a close. Thank you for sharing this past hour with me on Between the Keys, which is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and until next time, have a great week, and let's make every effort to be kind and compassionate. We need that more than ever.